Hey everybody, welcome to Workforce Gaming. I am Brad, here with Doug.
Hey.
Alan Wake 2 is the follow-up to, I always kind of felt it was a cult classic, but I can never figure out how big Alan Wake 1 was. It seems like something that was like, that was just good to me, but I feel like as the time's gone on, more people have jumped on the Alan Wake is great train.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I think it's a cult classic because it didn't sell very well, but it was I remember being a very big expensive game when it was first announced. It was like, this is going to be a big game, guys, and it kind of was just a weird little horror game.
And I loved it. But anyway,
yeah.
Alan Wake 2, kind of the long-awaited follow-up to this. If you kind of got the idea of Alan Wake, I think it kind of follows up directly from there. It's kind of a combination of Alan Wake and Control. You played this thing, not me, so I'm very interested because I just haven't had time to sit down with it yet.
Yeah.
So, is it good?
I mean, it's incredible. It is incredible, and it's a game that is just constant. It is so confidently swinging for the fences all of the time. And I think we talk about that a lot with like our Spider-Man 2 review. It's like, hey, it's a great game. It feels kind of safe. And this game just feels so unsafe all of the time. It feels like a very improbable game. Like the things that you're doing, the way that they're presenting the story, the way that they're presenting gameplay, it just all feels very unsafe, very swinging for the fences. And unlike a lot of games that sometimes swing at the fences, they maybe do it like once or twice. And like, yeah, sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. This is just like banger after banger of just like the entire game of just like really cool, unique, interesting ideas that creates like a tone that is both one of the funniest games I've ever played, also one of the scariest games I've ever played, and also just like one of the most interesting games I've ever played. But high level, it's
intentionally funny, because I feel like Alan Wake 1 had some of those just this writing, okay, come on.
Yeah, it's really funny because I think with the whole like Remedy series in general, because the tech was never quite there, you were never quite sure. It's like, is this conversation odd because the writing is bad and the animations are bad, or is like, there's always like a weird oddness to it that you're never quite sure is intentional. But now that sort of technology has come up and they use this like really interesting mixed media stuff, it's like, it's, they're so fully confident in that voice. Like, oh no, every sort of weird little thing of like this sort of like goofy conversation that feels like everybody's being a little crazy, it's like, oh no, that was totally intentional. That was not like some sort of like misinterpretation. This just is like, and that's why this game just feels so confident in that voice of just being this weird left of center sort of world that's like, everybody's just a little insane. So it allows you to do a lot of cool stuff and build off of that stuff.
Interesting.
But yeah, so Alan Wake 2, sequel to Alan Wake. It's set, actually, it's really funny. It is set 13 years after the original game. It's set in August of 2023, which I thought was really, really cool.
Because isn't it supposed to be that like that's how long ago the original game was? So Alan Wake has been sitting in the dark place for this entire time, just waiting to come back out, like this weird like meta narrative on it.
Yes, exactly. So basically, long story short of how the game is set up, and the thing that's really interesting, people, now I'm like reading all these theories and stuff. Like all of this stuff was set up in Control. All this stuff was set up in Alan Wake 1. After the events of Alan Wake, the Federal Bureau of Control steps in and shuts down the lake, and they had this huge investigation where they've basically set this huge fence around the lake, not allowing anybody in. So the whole town is aware this huge investigation went down. And suddenly a murder occurs, a cult-like murder occurs in this sort of closed-off area. So they bring in the FBI agents to investigate. You have this person named Saga Anderson, who's your main character. And it plays out, her sections play out very similar to the original Alan Wake. And in Alan Wake, the big conceit of the story in general is that Alan Wake, the things he writes come to life. And Saga, and the difference that's really cool, the difference between this one and the first game is that in the first game, Alan Wake is the only person who knows that his stories are coming to life.
Yeah.
And he's just being a loud, crazy person trying to convince people that this is the case. Saga, though, very early on, Saga and a number of people figure out very early on that this is what Alan Wake is doing and that they are somehow living out his story. And it's this really fun struggle with her character in general, where she's not sure if her even realizing she's a part of the story is a part of the story, which is like a fun kind of meta.
How much of control do I have of this, and how much is just Alan Wake telling me what to do?
Yes, Alan Wake. Yes, exactly. And then the other, so that's like her main plot. And the other side of the coin is Alan Wake at the end of Alan Wake 1 is stuck in this place called, I think it's called the Dark Place. I always get it wrong.
Yeah.
And you play this whole other campaign, like different campaign. Gameplay is actually quite a bit different, where he's trying to essentially write himself out of the Dark Place. He knows that his power, he actually has like his powers, like, well, if I can write in this place and make things happen, maybe I can write a book to actually like get myself out of the Dark Place. So those are basically two main plot threads. They're flying throughout the game. It's really interesting because you can actually choose to do one plot all of the way through before even touching the other one. But what I like to do is like actually go back and forth between them. So like I do like a chapter to a saga. There's like a nice kind of, yeah. So you can actually choose like when you want to go back.
Do they run concurrently?
Yeah, kind of. It gets a little weird. There are points when the two characters will meet, like story-wise sort of thing. And that's kind of when I split. It's like, okay, I'm going to catch up to this point where they kind of talk to each other and then catch up with the next character where they start talking to each other. So you can kind of pick and choose. But I've read online, like some people just like they did all the Alan Wake stuff at the end, or you did all the saga stuff. But before you beat the game, you have to go through both campaigns.
Does it feel like that would have an effect on your feelings on the game? I mean, obviously you only did it one way, but.
Well, yeah, kind of, but that's the thing I like about this game, because the tone is constantly shifting, but you're a little bit in charge of that. So Alan Wake's sections are this more very, very Silent Hill type horror, kind of quiet, really surreal. Actually, man, the art direction is so cool because I don't know how you dream, but when I dream like really vividly, a lot of things are kind of draped in shadows, and they use that, like basically that type of art direction, so to speak, of like very realistic dreams for his thing. So his things are like a lot spookier, a lot more cerebrally Silent Hill-y. And then Sagas is more like kind of like Resident Evil 2 style.
Oh, fun.
Where it's like a little bit more straightforward. So if you want to go like weird, loopy, surreal horror stuff, you do Alan Wake. But if you want to do the kind of more grounded, let's get kind of the, it's really funny. She really doesn't like Alan Wake. So it's kind of this sort of like Alan Wake bullshit stuff. And then the character who's like, screw the Alan Wake bullshit stuff. So it's really fun kind of going back and forth between the two characters. So you do feel like you're a little bit in charge, but that makes it like, it makes it chaotic. But also I really, really like that as well. And the thing that's really fun is that the world they've built in both Saga and in Alan Wake's world, Alan Wake is like more literally dreamlike, but in Saga's world, it just feels like everybody, like I was saying, everybody's just like a little insane, or everybody's running just like on like a little bit of dream logic. So but the thing that's really fun of this foundation, it like kind of lets you just kind of go off and do these like interesting things, because it always feels like this world being a little off kilter allows for crazy cool things to happen without it feeling like it totally breaking that universe.
Does him writing it have anything to do with that sense? And maybe that's a spoilery question, but like, since some of these people know it, does that kind of contribute to that kind of dreamlike, weird missingness of pieces?
Yeah, and there's kind of a running thing that Alan Wake might not be a good writer. very tropey writer, and that kind of plays in. And that's kind of what you're asking before. I think you were like asking earlier, sort of like that weirdness with Remedy games. Like, yeah. Was it ever really purposeful? It's like, in this game, it's like very smartly being stupid sometimes. It's very smartly being like, hey, we're going to use this trope. By the way, Alan Wake is going to say, I'm using this trope. We all are aware this is a trope that's being used. It's really funny of how smartly stupid, how smartly silly, and how smartly scary it can be. And the thing I really like about this, I haven't really thought this much about a game's plot and setting since Season, where it feels very rewarding to think about the game. It's not like I hate rag on Spider-Man 2 all the time. There's just like there's just not that much below the surface. There's interesting things, but there's not a lot to like.
It is what it is.
Beyond face value, like, yeah, exactly. There's interesting things at face value, not much beyond that. But this one, you're just kind of like, especially when you see like a real weird scene, especially if people are being stupid, like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, well, actually, you know, well, that thing, and then and you're like kind of making this like weird connection. So like the more it's a, it feels like a very rewarding game to think about, and it doesn't feel like this is a stupid game to like don't waste your time on, just like, especially when it starts getting weird and goofy. And it's like sometimes it's okay to just kind of let go and go, okay, I'm gonna be a little lost for a while, and then once it kind of tightens up, it's like, okay, now I can kind of rethink about it and that kind of thing. It makes it a really cool, chaotic game if you're ready to like kind of just go for it. I can just see it turning off like a million people. It's like definitely a very love hate game. I could see people playing this game and like, this game just absolutely sucks, it doesn't make any sense, all the characters are stupid and they're being corny, and it's like,
but that's fun.
But it's also like, yeah, but is that intentional? And then they're like kind of hinting that that's might be intentional in certain ways. Other cool stuff. Don't want to get into spoilers, but it's like, besides just being like mechanically and confidently being like a really good like Remedy game, it also really smartly pulls in the rest of the Remedy verse. I really, really like how the control mythos are used in this game. They're used in a very smart way. And
is that required reading? Is that my homework? Do I have to have played Control for this to make sense?
No, you can just know them as another government agency. Okay. But I'll say, like, if you've played Control, it's fucking awesome. It's like really, really cool. And like I was saying, because how they use the Remedyverse stuff, like they know those settings and those worlds so well that they know where it would or would not make sense to be like part of the Alan Wake story. Yeah. So like some of the things I don't like, Easter eggs are kind of fun, but they're never really great. But this one's like, well, actually with this Remedy verse, it makes sense to implement this character here. And it's not just going to be a one-off thing. It's going to be like a very extensive role in the story of Alan Wake 2. So it's like, there are some Easter eggs, but like nothing feels Easter eggy. It all just feels like, no. It makes sense that this Remedy game would be involved in this way. It makes sense that this Remedy game would be involved in this way. It is funny because they don't necessarily own all the games. so they play with that in fun ways as well. There's a lot of cool level of like meta narrative stuff that's like really fun, of kind of having this cast of like Remedy characters. And you know, Sam Lake is in it, and he's the guy who directed the game. They kind of like, they don't shy away from talking about how weird it is that he's in the game.
Odd.
Is it like, it's
so
odd.
So it gets like kind of like that meta thing of like, is this what's, you know what I'm saying? Like, how much of this is real? How much of this is fake? Is Remedy a part of this? Is that all kind of contribute with the Alan Wake thing, or is that all kind of a separate deal?
No, it all contributes to the Alan Wake thing. And the thing that I don't like about meta narrative sometimes is that a meta narrative can get so meta, the base layer of the thing doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Kind of feel like Rick and Morty does this sometimes, where it's like Rick, it's like the joke of Rick and Morty is like, Rick and Morty is just like, they're going on crazy adventures and you're just a viewer watching this sort of thing. Like, that's kind of like the meta-y stuff with it, which is fine. But this one's like, Alan Wake's universe makes sense to be meta, and it's okay to be meta in the Alan Wake's universe, because it feels in universe. But I really like that stuff, but I can see that stuff that's like really annoying people. And that's the thing I like about this game, because it's making big swings of like kind of crazy, dangerous ways of taking plot that can be like unsafe and lose your audience. Like, I think that's the stuff that's exciting about it. There's parts of this game, like, I just didn't like, there's parts of the plot I was like, this sucks. but I liked that I didn't like portions of it. I liked the, because they embraced that. And then there's parts I really, really love about this game. As well, and I just think it's just so confidently, it's just so confidently itself. It just feels so wholly unique, especially in that sort of AAA, AA space.
We spent a lot of money on it. Space,
kind of. Yeah, they spent a weird amount of money on this game. They spent an appropriate amount of money on this game. But yeah, and then just how everything else is, like how the story is doled out and how it uses mixed media and all that kind of thing. And it feels like sometimes it's not afraid just to kind of be like a visual novel for like 3 hours straight before it dumps you into Resident Evil 2. Not saying like literally a visual novel, but it's just like, just soak in the world of Alan Wake.
Walking simulator.
Yes. Yeah. It almost feels like Alan Wake is an action game. This one feels like more like an adventure game, and not even action adventure game. It just feels like an adventure game in really cool ways. I love this game. Like, absolutely love it. I highly recommend it to everybody. It does feel like the first game is definitely required reading. it definitely feels like Control might be a little bit of required reading. Mm-hmm. It seems like some of those DLCs were also kind of important. but it feels like
Max Payne 1, Max Payne 2, Max Payne 3, Quantum Break. Just play them all.
Yeah, but if you're a Remedy fan and you've already played all that stuff, it's like, actually, this is great. Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's awesome. It's a cool game.
We are Workforce Gaming. We try and get new videos up every Monday. Subscribe to our channel, leave a comment below, and we will see you later.
Bye.